This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. I'd like to call to order Senate Committee on Appropriations. I want to welcome those in our listening audience and those of you that are present. Keep in mind when you speak, please identify yourself. Also, please sign in. I'd have the secretary take roll, please. Okay, let's go with roll, please.
Senator Greenfield.
Here.
Johnson.
Excused absence.
Callback.
Here.
Maher.
Excused absence.
Nesaba.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Wick.
Here.
Vice Chair Breitling.
Here.
Chair Hunhoff.
Here.
Madam Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you so very much. We're going to begin this hearing. This is Senate Bill 139, and this is to increase the base salary for certain judges. Proponents, please. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Lee Schoenbeck. I'm here with Representative Haugard. We've brought this bill really on behalf of the UJS or on behalf of the legislature to help the UJS. I have to go back to state affairs, so you know I'll be brief here. There's a problem in getting people to apply for judgeships. And I mean, the applicant numbers are way down because we haven't kept up with what the market's doing. This is an effort to try and work to fix that. And let me say this, here's the difference. Right now, most of the people you can get to apply for judgments are in government service, because for them, it's probably a pay increase or certainly not a pay decrease. But you're not getting that broad swath of people. And if you want to know why that's important, just talk to one of your neighbors that's had their child or grandchild's custody case. They've had a dispute over some real estate between the farmer next to them and them, or they had a kid that was arrested for pick some criminal case. You want the best reasoned judgment mind you can have on the bench, and you want people with a broad range of experience. And this bill is about trying to get us in that direction. And I'm going to run back up to Senate State Affairs, but I would be happy to come back down if you text me, and I'll run down for any questions. Thank you,
Senator. Further proponents?
Yes, Steve Haugard, District 10 Representative. I would share in those comments, and in addition to that, I would just point out that I think the UJS has probably been a little more prudent than they should be about asking for adjustments to their salaries. And when you look across the spectrum of state government, you see that they've fallen quite a ways behind given the level of expertise that's required and the duties they have. So I think this two-step process of increasing this year and increasing next year gets them up to a reasonable level and a level where likely there will be an increased number of applications for the open position. So I would just ask for your support of this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. I see we have people online. Proponents? Oh, here we go. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair.
Good morning. Welcome.
Madam Chair, Steve Jensen, Chief Justice of the South Dakota Supreme Court. I do have a couple of circuit judges online, and I'm going to just speak real briefly, and I'll let them take it from there. Our ability to continue to find well-qualified attorneys to fill positions in South Dakota is foundational to our system of justice. Circuit judges make literally dozens of decisions, if not more, every week that impact the lives of individuals, families, and businesses in South Dakota. Most of these decisions are not appealed and become final. So the importance of having good circuit judges cannot be overstated. South Dakota judicial pay ranks 49th for circuit judges and 51st for Supreme Court justices when compared to other states and provinces across the U.S. SB 139 would raise salaries for circuit judges and justices by 6% in fiscal year 22 and again in fiscal year 23. The total cost, including Social Security and retirement, for the increase this year is $461,000. Next year, the number would increase slightly based on the larger salary numbers. The total increase to 12% would put circuit judges at just over $150,000 per year. While still behind some of our neighboring states, this will help catch us up with some states such as North Dakota and Iowa. Most importantly, it would put us in a much better position to attract well-qualified attorneys from law firms, trust companies, and even public employers in South Dakota. while salary is not the most important thing, I believe the best judges enter the profession out of a sense of public service and not financial gain. But it's important that we offer a competitive salary to attract the kind of people that each of us would want to decide the fate of their own case. Thank you for your time this morning. I'm going to turn it over to our circuit judges and let them speak briefly.
Thank you. Further proponents.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Mike Day. I'm the presiding judge of the 4th Judicial Circuit, which is the 8 counties of Northwest South Dakota, including the larger populated counties of Meade, Butte, and Lawrence. I became a circuit judge in 2013. I was appointed by Governor Dugard. Prior to that, I practiced law for 30 years. During my practice, I was fortunate enough to be elected president of the State Bar of South Dakota, president of the South Dakota Trial Lawyers Association. I also served 6 years on the disciplinary committee for the State Bar, and I was also appointed and served on the Judicial Qualifications Commission. During my time of the Judicial Qualifications Commission back in the 90s, when there was an applicant, we would have dozens of applicants, or when there was a vacancy, we would have dozens of applicants. It would take our commission days to interview all of the applicants. Last year, I was pulled back on the Judicial Qualifications Commission for several vacancies due to conflicts that certain members had. For example, the 4th Judicial Circuit vacancy out of Meade County, which obviously is a large county. We host the rally every year. It's an important position. We had 4 applicants. When I applied in 2013, I was told we had close to 20 applicants. I know that Judge Howman, who's going to testify, will talk about her experience in Minnehaha County. I believe that the gap between judicial salaries as compared to salaries of attorneys in corporate and private practice has jeopardized our long-term tradition of excellence in the judiciary, and I would encourage support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Judge. Other proponents. I'm going to ask this. If you're not speaking, please mute yourself because feedback comes through. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Robin Hellman. I'm the presiding judge of the 2nd Judicial Circuit, which comprises Minnehaha and Lincoln counties. Today, I'm here to speak as a proponent of this bill on behalf of the other role I serve in, which is the Secretary of the Judicial Qualifications Commission. The Judicial Qualifications Commission is an independent constitutional body that is made up of 2 judges, 3 attorneys, and 2 citizens of the state. In 2017, the JQC advised Governor Dugard, as well as the leadership of the House and Senate, about our concerns regarding judicial compensation and its impact on the judicial applicant pool. At the time, we stated that there were countless potential applicants who are well qualified and tell us that they want to serve, they are willing to serve, but they cannot afford to finish their careers at the current rate of pay. The Judicial Qualifications Commission is tasked with providing a list of qualified applicants to the governor for judicial positions. There are a number of criteria that we look at in determining whether or not someone is qualified. First, we look at someone's fitness. That looks at their competency and experience, which includes their intelligence, knowledge of the law, professional reputation, education, and record of community and government service. We also consider personal attributes, such as their character qualities of integrity, standing in the community, moral conduct, ethics, and commitment to equal justice under the law. Finally, we must consider their judicial capabilities concerning matters such as their demeanor, patience, decisiveness, impartiality, courtesy, civility, temperament, diligence, and maturity. We look at all of these capabilities and believe that they are important considerations for South Dakota judges because all judges in South Dakota are ethically bound to hear every case that is presented to them in their courtrooms. They hear cases such as capital punishment. They make difficult decisions daily that require balancing the interests of society, victims, and the rights of defendants. They are called upon daily to resolve issues of pretrial detention, addiction, mental health issues involving criminal defendants. Oh, just over the last 10 years, felony filings within our state have doubled, and the existing judges within our state have also taken on the leadership and task of running 19 new specialty courts that have been created to address issues within our state. Our judges also have heavy dockets involving family law issues of divorce and child custody. These weighty decisions require that our judges have patient and careful consideration of disputed facts that arrive at determinations of what's in the best interests of our children. Judges also hear a variety of complex civil cases, ranging from small consumer cases to complex large-dollar disputes. And we also consider administrative appeals from decisions made by state agencies that affect individuals, businesses, and entities across the state. And in every one of these cases, our judges are responsible for applying the rules of procedure and substantive law in even-handed and fair manners so that every person, regardless of race, gender, socioeconomic status, ensures that they receive equal justice under the law. This can be quite difficult when in our current climate, many judges are required to hear cases involving people who are not represented by attorneys. Judges also must hear search warrant requests, and those requests have increased 300% since 2013. The judges in our state are now on call 24/7, 365, weekends, evenings, and holidays every year. In completing all of these tasks, our judges additionally do not have support staff. They do not have secretaries, and they share a law clerk with 4 to 8 other judges. This means they make their own copies, that they type and mail their own letters and decisions. As Judge Day mentioned, there have been recent instances where the JQC has had to re-advertise circuit court openings because there were not enough qualified candidates. In fact, one time in Sioux Falls, we had to recently do that with the Second Circuit. There were 4 applicants. We had to re-advertise the position to attempt to gain additional interest. Well, another reason that individuals say that it's difficult for them to apply for judicial positions is because on assuming a position on the bench, our judges are ethically bound to monitor their associations and financial dealings to avoid conflicts of interest. This means many must disengage from community service activities, roles within their churches, and step away from friendships and social activities. Many of our past and present judges have and continue to make these financial sacrifices to serve the public as a judge. But judicial salaries must be more competitive to continue to attract and retain the quality of judges that our South Dakota citizens deserve. The willingness of our current and past judges to make these sacrifices has ensured that we have an excellent judiciary in South Dakota. But the widening gap between judicial salaries as compared to the salaries of attorneys in corporate and private practice jeopardizes this tradition of excellence. A recent informal survey that was conducted of South Dakota attorneys in private and public practice, those respondents uniformly cited judicial pay as the major consideration in their decision to not apply for a judicial position. An annual minimum salary of $150,000 or higher was a consistent theme of those respondents who said they would consider applying for a judicial position if that were the rate of pay. Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members of the Commission, for allowing me to provide this testimony.
Thank you so very much. Are there further proponents online? Okay, seeing none, further proponents. Brief, and if it's a me too, unless you have new information.
Good morning, members of the committee. Andy Fergal, I'm the executive director of the State Bar, South Dakota.
I won't add a whole lot other than to say our membership exceeds 3,000 members in the state of South Dakota, and the State Bar of South Dakota has recognized for a while that our judges are being paid below market, and that has reduced the number of candidates willing to pursue becoming a judge. Realizing this could diminish the quality of our judge pool, the bar passed a resolution at its annual meeting in 2019 to support increasing judges' salary. And so we'd ask you to support Senate Bill 139. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Steve Siegel. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Trial Lawyers Association. We too rise in support of this bill. These are tough jobs. These judges are taking on family law cases, A&Ns, protection orders. I think we need to step it up as a state and pay these people accordingly. We have good people in these positions, and if we're going to continue to have good quality people, we need to step it up. Do we really need to be last in salaries in the country? I don't think so. Please support this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponents? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there opponents? Any opponents? Any opponents online? Anyone online that's an opponent? All right, seeing none, there is no need for rebuttal, so then we'll open it up for questions by the committee. Questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Wick.
I know we're short on time. I'm just wondering what kind of budgetary implications this is going to have. What's this going to cost? If anybody can answer that.
Madam Chair, Greg Satizon, State Court Administrator. So the budgetary implications, the 6% increase for the current fiscal year would be a total cost of $421,566. And then for that second year, because the cost of living would then be applied at the 2.4% as recommended, that number would go up to $501,228. And I could certainly share this sheet with a breakdown of those numbers.
Why don't you give it to the page, and she can go make copies and bring it back. There is a question with that first number. What is the time frame that you're talking about that would go into effect?
Madam Chair, that was the time frame for FY22, July 1 to June 30th.
Next fiscal year.
Correct.
Okay, great. Other questions? I'm going to ask this one. How many vacancies are currently in the judicial for judges? And how long have they been there?
Madam Chair, we currently have one vacancy that is being considered, and I think actually that has gone through the process of the JQC and is now in front of the governor. We have one other position, a judge that will be retiring in June, and so there will be another vacancy at that time. You know, a lot of it depends on departures and retirements in terms of future. There are some years we've had 10 vacancies, and other years it might be one or two.
Just a question for a follow-up. So when a vacancy occurs, simplify us. What's the process to take on that caseload, or how do you address that?
Yeah, Madam Chair, it's addressed in this fashion. We have either the existing circuit judges will fill in until the new judge is appointed, or alternatively, we do have some retired judges who we are able to call up and essentially fill in those roles on a short-term basis until we have a position filled. Judge Howman might be able to speak to this better, but I would estimate that typically it's about a 6 to 9 month process from the time that a position is open until it is filled.
Did you want to respond, Judge Howman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I would agree with the Chief Justice. It generally takes approximately 6 months from the time the JQC is notified of an intent to retire or a vacancy before the position is actually appointed by the governor.
Thank you. Senator Wick.
Madam Chair, just a quick follow-up to your line of questioning. How many people applied for the opening that's being considered right now?
Madam Chair, the current opening had 7 applicants.
Do you have a follow-up?
And I believe we heard in previous testimony, thank you, Madam Chair, typically there would be 15, 20 or more for a similar vacancy. Is that what I understood?
Madam Chair, that is accurate. Historically, the vacancies have had applicant pools in the range of 12 to 25 in prior years. More recently, that number has been between 4 to 8.
I have one last question, but any other questions from the committee? Chief Justice, here's my question. So if we have a vacancy, what happens to these cases as far as being heard? Is there a delay in our citizens and the individuals having the right access and having timely hearings or trials or whatever?
Madam Chair, I would say that that's generally not the concern. I think the concern is, are we going to have qualified candidates to fill that position? And that's really the heart of what we're trying to address here.
Thank you. Anyone else? Then I will close this hearing to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Wick.
I would move a due pass recommendation on Senate Bill 139.
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Wick, seconded by Senator Greenfield, due pass on Bill 139, which is to increase the base salary for certain judges. Any comments on that motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think they made a pretty good case to us today that we're just not getting the candidates interested in being a judge. And I actually believe that Senator Schoenbeck in his opening remarks made a really solid case for why we need more applicants to do this very, very needed work in South Dakota. So I would urge that we move this forward to the floor for further discussion.
Thank you. Any other comments? None. The motion before the group is due pass on Senate Bill 139. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Greenfield.
Aye.
Johnson.
Absent.
Kaulbeck.
Aye.
Maher.
Absent, excused.
Nasabak.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Breitling.
Aye.
Senator Hunhoff.
Aye.
And Johnson was excused?
Yes, absent excused.
Okay. 7 yeas and 2 excused.
Senate Bill 139, receiving the majority of the vote, has passed. We'll go to the floor. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Wick.
I have minutes from our Wednesday, February 17th meeting. We met after session and discussed Senate Bill 27 and deferred action on that bill. The meeting minutes appear to be in order, and I would move them at this time.
Second.
Been moved by Senator Wick, second by Senator Nesbitt to approve the minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. The minutes are approved. Anything else?
Madam Chair.
Senator Wick.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Senator Wick, seconded by Senator Kaulbeck to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned.